Well, good morning. It's fun to be back here with you guys. A few weeks ago, Chelsea and I were out running errands, as Jeff mentioned. I think it was maybe like our last free Saturday before spring sports take over, and we were exploring a little bit. We were just stopping in stores that we had never been in before, and one of the stores that we stopped into, we didn't really know what it was. We walked in, and we figured out pretty quickly it was one of those stores where people take their old clothes that they don't wear anymore, but they're still in good condition, and they sell them to that store, and then the store turns around and sells them. And so we were interested because we're like, you know, we've got some clothes that we don't really wear anymore. They're still in good shape. So what's the process? Describe this to us. And so Chelsea's having a conversation with the lady behind the counter, incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly thorough. She's walking her through the process. And then I stepped up and joined Chelsea there. And the lady looked at me and she looked me up and down at the clothes that I was wearing. And the tone of the conversation completely shifted, right? She wasn't talking about the process anymore. She was talking about the kind of clothes that they're looking for. She said, you know, we're looking for clothes that have been maybe made in the last year or so, that are in style, that are trendy, clothes that don't have holes in them. And I think that she looked at my sweatshirt and my shorts with a hole in them and my socks that didn't match, and she immediately decided I was not her kind of person, right? I was not someone that belonged in that store. And Chelsea loved that, right? We walked out. She was laughing, making fun of me, but I'm not going to lie. It stung a little bit, right, as we walked out, because we all want to belong. Right, we all want to be brought in. We all want to be included. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. God created us with this desire in our hearts to belong and to be a part of something. One of the major lessons that we've learned as just as a people these past few years from COVID and beyond is that there's this deep desire in us to be connected relationally to the people around us. That concept of social distancing, it wasn't just uncomfortable or inconvenient. It caused us to live for a season opposed to the way that God designed us. When we open our Bibles, and if you've got one, go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to see that God made us for relationships. First with Him, right above all, a relationship with our Heavenly Father, and second, for relationships with one another. And with that reality in mind, we're going to answer our last question of that reset series this morning. We've answered several questions in here about the Bible, about prayer, about God's will for our life, about our salvation, and this morning, we're answering the question, should I become a member of a local church family? And I'll give you the answer up front. The answer is yes. If you've trusted Christ and you're in a relationship with Him, God's word is very clear about many, many things. First, you're already a member, right, of the global church, right? What we call the Big C church. Wayne Grudem describes that group of believers as this: the community of all true believers for all time. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, in that moment when Christ changed your heart and made you one of His own, you became a part of that global church family of all believers for all time. In addition to that, we believe as we go to God's Word that we see that we're also supposed to be connected to a local church family, a local gathering of believers that we are connected to relationally. A church family like ours, right? That's our focus for this morning. Now, as soon as I asked that question, should I be connected to a local church family, I heard some rustling in the room from those of you that are already members of a church family pulling out your phones to entertain yourself for the next few minutes. Listen, if that's you, if you've checked the box already and you'd say, I'm a member of this church family, stay with me, right? Because as we dive in to God's word this morning, we're going to be looking at this from two perspectives. I believe there's several people in the room that have not yet committed to this church or any local church family. And my prayer for you is that you would consider God's word this morning and that you'd make that step of relational commitment to one another here in the church. If you've already done that, right, if you've gone to a class, if you signed the paper, if you checked the box, my prayer for you is that you would evaluate God's word this morning, that you'd let it work in your heart so you could answer this question for yourself. Are you living like a biblical member of the church? As we study this morning, we're going to be all around the New Testament because I believe church membership is all throughout the New Testament, but we're going to start by just taking that term member. It's important to know that a pastor a few years ago didn't just make it up. We use the word member in the churches because Paul used it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, uses it in Ephesians, many other places as well. We're looking at Ephesians 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." We see the word member there all through the chapter. It's all through the letter. But the question remains, what about church membership? Is that specifically mentioned in the Bible? No. And yes, okay? The phrase church membership isn't there, but the concept absolutely is. Think about the Trinity, right? We don't read the word Trinity anywhere in Scripture. But when you read Scripture beginning to end, Genesis chapter 1 all the way through the end of Revelation, you see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's no denying that that's what the Bible teaches. It's the same way when you read the New Testament. There's no denying that God's plan for us as his children, a part of his family, is to be connected to one another in a local church family. Now, church membership, it's not like a Costco membership that you can cancel when you're done with it. It's not like a country club membership that exists solely for your pleasure or your entertainment. That's not it at all. It's all about commitment to Christ and commitment to one another. And this matters for us. This is a big, big deal in our culture today. To live out the words of the Bible here on church membership, to live with this mutual commitment to one another, it's to be different than the rest of the world. Our world slides more and more every day towards isolation and independence. Our culture is full of a people that live more isolated, people that don't know their neighbors. Our culture is full of a people that have grown self-focused. And as followers of Jesus, we cannot conform to that pattern of this world. Instead, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God so that we can know and understand what is God's good, pleasing, acceptable, and perfect will for us. That's what we read in Romans chapter 12. And we know we're going to see a big part of that will is to be connected relationally, dependent on one another in a local church family. We need the church. Right, every single one of us. John Piper says it this way as he makes a plea for all of us to belong together. He says, the more disconnected we are from a local church, the more confused we will be about who we are and about who God made us to be. So, should I belong to a local church family? Yes. Well, why? I've got dozens and dozens of reasons. I shared then with Pastor Jarrett earlier this week. He said I needed to narrow it down because if I went too long, you guys would just get up and go to lunch. So I've narrowed it from dozens down to five. We'll walk through them together this morning. We need to be members of the church first and foremost because church membership reflects God's design and it displays the gospel, right? We were designed, we were created in community. Go back to Genesis. What's God say? Let us make man in our image. We are created by community to exist in community. Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. In the New Testament, that first gathering of Christians, right, that first church family, they modeled this idea of community and together. Acts 2:44, all who believed were together and they had all things in common. Acts chapter 2, if you read the entire chapter, it paints this beautiful picture of life together and growth in the faith, growth in our relationship with Christ. Look back to 1 Corinthians if your Bible's still there. One body, many members, all members, one body. So it is with Christ. Verse 14, the body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. God's design for us, right? For you and me as believers is to come together as one. It's to belong. I love the way Tim Keller says it. He says, the church is not a place. The church is not a building. The church is not a preaching point. The church is not a spiritual service provider. The church is a people, the new people of God. And you can't really be a believer apart from these people. Let's make sure we pause here and understand what he's saying. He's saying our spiritual lives, it's not just about me in my own personal isolated relationship with Christ. When we read Scripture, we see that it starts 100% with Christ and our personal relationship with him. And then it becomes also about this adopted family that he has brought us in 2. If your Bible's still open, flip to Ephesians chapter 2, one of the powerhouse chapters of the Bible. We read it and we see by grace through faith, not of works, so that no one can boast. What we see in this chapter here, how believers through their faith in Christ, his grace and mercy in our lives, man, through that we are reconciled to God. But that's not all we see in Ephesians chapter 2. There is a second half to the chapter. There we also see how those that have been reconciled to God through Christ are also reconciled to one another. Sometimes you'll run into someone, a believer even, who minimizes the importance of belonging to a church. And they do that because they've excluded, they've forgotten these teachings. That they've reduced their faith to their own personal relationship with Christ, forgetting the impact that it has on other people. And listen, while it of course starts with Jesus, there's so much more. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see that our sin broke our relationship with God and others, and through Jesus we're reconciled to him. He folds us into a family. And right there in Ephesians chapter 2, we see that we are reconciled with other people. That happened in the ancient city of Corinth. A bunch of people, nothing like one another, reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. It starts right there. And in that moment, all of a sudden, a very unlikely group of people from different languages, religions, and backgrounds become a family. That happened in the ancient city of Ephesus, as Paul spent so much of his time in ministry there in that city, as people trusted in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. They became a part of the family of God, and they begin to meet together, reconciled to one another. And that happened right here in 2025 in Houston, Texas, as well, as God brings us together into a family. Well, look around this room this morning. Look at the different people that are here, right? God has turned us into one of the most unlikely families imaginable. There is no reason that all of us should be together in this place, in this room. It's a display of God's amazing grace. You have relationships, you have friendships, deep, long-lasting friendships with people here where the only thing you have in common is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel does in the local church. 2 years ago, a family walked into our church. They recently moved to the United States. They moved to the Woodlands from Africa. Their careers were in oil and gas. They were transferred to the Woodlands. They showed up at our church family. Amazing people, man, so fun to be around. I love the accents, I love the clothes, I love the smiles, I love the energy. And they walked in with their two teenage kids, man, first Sunday living in the United States, and the first people they met at the front door of our church was a senior adult couple that had lived in Tomball for virtually their entire life. And so they see this new family walking up. They didn't recognize them. And so I love it. And the senior adult couple, they went up and introduced themselves to this new family at the door, asked them what was going on, how they could connect with them, how they could help show them around the church that morning. They invited this family to sit with them together and worship. And that started one of the most unlikely friendships you could ever imagine. And these people are together all the time. There's dinners all the time. There's a relationship. There's a back and forth. There's a prayer focus. There's an accountability focus. There's a pastoral care focus in their hearts and lives as they check in with one another. And it's continued up until a few months ago when completely out of the blue, unexpected, shock to everyone, the father of that family from Africa suddenly passed away on Thanksgiving Day. By the time I got to the hospital, and man, I left immediately as soon as I heard. By the time I got to the hospital, man, that senior adult couple from Tomball was right there with them, weeping with them, praying with them, encouraging them, and it's continued, right, up to this day. A few weeks ago, senior adult couple, woman has some serious health issues. She's in and out of the hospital. There's surgeries that happen. And every time I call and check in, when I've gone to the hospital, and I've just missed this mom from Ghana and her two teenage kids being in the home praying over them, investing in them, loving them, showing up for the surgery, showing up after the surgery, helping take care of them. Listen, these are the kind of relationships that only happen in a church family. They don't happen anywhere else. In relationships like this, and from the outside looking in, those doctors, those nurses, as they see this interaction and people that are going on, they reflect the gospel to a world that is watching us. Understand this morning, that's the design of the church we see in the New Testament. It's not just some Christian friends that we hang out with from time to time that we've picked on our own based on our own common interests and tastes. No, the design from Scripture is one family together, committed to loving one another and caring for people that are completely different than us. As members of a church family, right, committed to the gospel and to one another, we display that to a watching world as we gather, oftentimes having only Jesus in common. We belong together. The idea of a believer, unattached to the local church in the New Testament, it's foreign in Scripture, right? 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us we're a part of the household, the actual family of God, right? The church is not a building we go to. It is a family we belong to. And here's something else that means for us. It means that we cannot be a part, of the church in isolation, right? We can't come in by ourselves and then sit down by ourselves and sing by ourselves and take notes by ourselves and walk out by ourselves and say we're a part of the family. Does this make sense? Listen, it's possible to be here and still be isolated from everyone else in the family. That's not the design, right? We're to be known and loved by other people here. We're to be cared for and invested in by other people here. And in the same vein, we're supposed to know and love and care and invest in other people here as well, growing in real relationships with one another because we have been reconciled to God by grace through faith in Christ, adopted into his family, and then reconciled with one another. If you've taken that step, right, if you've committed, right, to a local church family, ask yourself, are you reflecting God's design of community? Are you displaying the gospel through your relationships here with one another? If you'd say no, man, plug in, actively build and work on those relationships, invest in one another, because it's only through relationships like that in the family that we can actually do what Jesus has told us to do. That brings us to reason number two for joining a church family. Church membership enables us to follow the commands of Scripture. It's clear when we read the New Testament, if we're gonna do what the Bible says, right, if we're gonna live this out, we know that's a goal for us. We have to be connected to one another. There's a phrase you've probably heard. I'm sure that Pastor Jared has used this often in here, but we say the one another's of the Bible, right? There's an abbreviated list that I've got for you this morning. There's literally close to 100 of these. Here's a short list, but this is a list that gives you a picture of what we are called to do to one another in the church. And there's no way that we could follow these commands without being connected to a family like this. We're to love one another, right? We're to build one another up and encourage one another. We're supposed to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We're supposed to bear with one another, show compassionate towards one another, be sympathetic and kind to one another, humble towards one another. Listen, all of these commands, they assume proximity, okay? They assume we're connected to each other, that we're seeing the same group of people on a regular basis. Of these commands, Mark Dever says this, people, this is New Testament, you know, early church, first century people, were identified as Christians not by going to church, but by the way they devoted themselves to other people in the church. Our church membership, when we talk about it, we're not talking about walking in a door each week. We're talking about devoting ourselves to one another as we do what Jesus has called us to do. We're a family. We're called to love one another. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody in your family, I'm talking about your biological family now, does anybody in your family get on your nerves a little bit? There's some men in here that are just stone-faced, right? They're not gonna admit it. They're looking straight ahead that, you know, I'm with you, right? I get it, okay? Here's the deal. Every family has issues. Every family has fights. Every family has their struggles and their problems. We had a slow morning yesterday, and Chelsea and our 8-year-old, they were cooking some eggs for the rest of the family in the kitchen, and he started commenting how much he loved to cook, and maybe he'd be a chef one day. Well, one of our other kids had said something along those lines, and Chelsea's always looking for ways to bring the family together and encourage that friendship among our sons, you know, as brothers. And so she says to my youngest, "Hey, man, that's great. Your brother said that too. Maybe you guys could grow up and open up a restaurant together." And the response, with no thought at all, it was like an instinct, out of his mouth comes, "Mom, there would be so many fights in that kitchen if we tried to do that." And I know he's right, because that phrase started a fight in the kitchen yesterday morning. It happened right before our eyes, our families. Man, sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Chelsea's family, they're not here so I can say this. Don't text them about this. Listen, Chelsea's family, they have a group text that will not stop. It drives me crazy. I've asked them to slow it down a little bit. They didn't. And so I removed myself, right? I got out of the text thread. And I did not know that they would immediately all get a notification that I had done that. They were really upset. Their feelings were hurt. I was a little embarrassed. I had to apologize. They forgave me. I went back. But here's the deal. It was wrong for me to do. Don't tell them that. It was wrong because we're a family. Listen. In the same way, in this room, people are going to frustrate you. You're going to have disagreements with people in the church family. There's that phrase, if you find a perfect church, don't join it because then it won't be perfect anymore, right? That this just doesn't exist, right? All of us, man, we all have our issues. We're all gonna mess up. When that happens, when you experience conflict or friction in the church family, live out the one another's of Scripture in these moments. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Have patience with one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. 100 one another commands in Scripture. I'm going to tell you this. There is no one another command in Scripture that says get mad at one another and then abandon one another in search of a new family. It's not in here. Right? When we work out our issues with one another, we follow the commands of Scripture, and we bring glory to God. Are you living out the one another's of the Bible here in our church family? It will not happen apart from connection. If you've been in the church or around the church for a little bit, I want to encourage you, man, don't sit in isolation on the sidelines. Don't be a spectator forever. Jump in and be a part of the family. And as you do, you'll experience growth in your relationship with Christ as you go deeper with his family. That's the third reason I've got this morning, that church membership matters. It leads to spiritual growth and spiritual accountability. Proverbs 27:17 says this, "As iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another." You know this, so much growth happens as we wrestle with God's word together, as we take a passage of Scripture and really discuss it, really debate it, really seek to learn it together. So much growth happens through sermons and life groups and one-on-one conversations and Bible studies together, right? Growth happens there. When we're connected in the family, like God's word calls us to be, not only does growth happen, spiritual accountability happens. We submit ourselves to a church family for spiritual accountability, and I'm telling you, that spiritual accountability in our lives that we all need, it keeps us safe spiritually. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that God has placed leaders over us that keep watch over our souls. Proverbs chapter 15 tells us that we have godly wisdom imparted to us from the experience of other people. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that consistent gathering and meeting together of one another, it keeps us healthy spiritually. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 reminds us that we have a spiritual enemy whose sole goal is to steal, kill, and destroy, to devour, to ruin us spiritually, and that he does his best work in isolation. Growth happens together. Accountability for the sake of our spiritual health, it happens together. And please don't forget, I feel like I always need to add this in when talking about accountability. As someone comes to you with grace and love, full of concern, and begins to point out something in your life in the attempt to hold you accountable, do not immediately put a wall up and get defensive. Right? Listen to them. Right? That conversation that they have really worked hard to muster up the courage to have, that conversation, it's for your good. It's for your spiritual protection. If we're not having those hard conversations with one another in the church family, if things aren't getting messy like that from time to time, man, we are not doing this right. And we've got to be real with one another, willing to have those tough conversations with one another. So often, that's when we grow. And let me say one more thing about spiritual growth connected to the church. I read a story about a guy this week. He was resistant to join a church. He said, I don't need to be a member of a church. And here was his reason. He said, if I join the church will slow me down spiritually. Think about that. He was saying that he could go further and faster and deeper on his own. Well, we know that he's already missed something. We know that he can't do the one another's of Scripture apart from a consistent gathering of believers, but he's missing something else too. All of his wisdom and knowledge, right? If he brought it to the church family, it would absolutely be used by God to speed others up in their growth. When I say that church membership leads to spiritual growth, I'm not just talking about your spiritual growth. I'm talking about the brother or sister that's sitting next to you. I'm talking about the people that you're connected to week in and week out. God can and will use you to grow them if you are connected to them. We can't let an American consumer mindset of what's in it for me drive how we view the church family, right? That's not in here. Joining a church, it's not like shopping for a car where we kick the tires and walk around and find the best deal for us and evaluate what's in it for us. We've got to remember that we are not meant to be consumers. We are contributors here in the family, right? So jump in, right? Be a part of the family all the way in and put yourself in a position to learn, to grow, to be held accountable for how you live. And I promise you, you'll see your personal relationship with Christ go to levels you've never experienced on your own. And if you're a member, right, if you're in the family already, right, just understand and know this is part of being a biblical member of the church. Are you participating in the spiritual growth and accountability of other people here? It can't happen in like loose acquaintance style relationships where you talk about surface level stuff like the weather and the Astros. It just doesn't work. Right? It's only possible through sincere commitment and connection to one another. And listen, when we get together, we are all better. That's our fourth reason that church membership matters, right? It brings our gifts together ultimately for the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you've trusted Christ, you have spiritual gifts, right, that they came to you, right, when you trusted Christ and were sealed with the Holy Spirit. My question for you this morning is, do you know what those spiritual gifts are? I bet many of you do, or if you've been around the church for a little while, but not everybody does. I teach a new believers class on Wednesday nights. It's one of the most fun things that I get to do right now. And this past week, our lesson as we were working through this workbook was on spiritual gifts. And so we explained what they were. We explained when we got these spiritual gifts, when we trusted in Christ. And I asked them about it. And listen, out of the whole room, only one person had heard the phrase spiritual gifts before and had a vague idea of what their spiritual gift might be. So I pressed pause. We got on the Champion Forest website. If you've never done this, it's fascinating. Do it. This afternoon. Championforest.org. In the search bar, type in spiritual gifts. And the first link you see will take you to a spiritual gifts test. And so I had them all do it in the class. It took a few minutes. And at the end, God worked it out like only God could work it out. Almost everybody in that room that night had a different spiritual gift. And as they begin to talk about it, they were able to see, listen, on my own, like this is what I've got, and this is what you've got, and that's what you've got. But when we come together, look at how much better we are. Look at how much more we can do. Look at how much further we can go as we are connected. Listen, Ephesians 4:12 tells us that God has given us those gifts to build up his body, the church. They're not for our personal entertainment. They're not for our personal advancement. Those are meant to be used for the building up of one another in Christ Jesus. Back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. The body doesn't consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, well, I don't belong, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. If an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong, well, that's not gonna make it less a part of the body as well. If the whole body were an eye, it couldn't hear. If the whole body were an ear, it couldn't smell. But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. All right, this is for you individually right now, right? Not the whole room. So take this, process this individually, one-on-one, you and the Lord. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have spiritual gifts that the body of Christ needs. You do. Not just the person sitting next to you, you do. And according to 1 Peter chapter 4, you cannot be a good steward of that gift that God has given you if you live your life separated and uncommitted from other believers. Your seat here, it's not just a place to rest. It is a place to invest yourself for the sake of others, for the building up of the body of Christ. Listen, well, without feet, our church can't walk. Right? Without toes, we lose our balance. Right? Without the pinky toe, we can't function. Right? We can't go wee all the way home, and we don't have the balance that God has given us to do what he's called us to do. If you would say, man, I don't know about my gifting, or my gift is this, I wish my gift was that, I'm just telling you right now, if you've ever felt like you've got the pinky toe kind of gift, I'm telling you, Scripture says every single one of those gifts is absolutely vital for the church to do what God has called the church to do without a commitment from all of us to the body of Christ. We're not operating at 100%. All right, plug in. Offer your gifts up to the Lord. Let him use you in a way that only he can. Be a good steward of that gift. Every one of us matters. Listen, I love our church family. I really do. I love being over here. I love worshiping with Darrell and his team. Every time I get the chance to come over here, I love listening to Pastor Jarrett sitting and learning under his teaching, not just on Sunday, but several days a week. I love the way that he pours into me and all of us. Listen, what God does in this room is so important to our spiritual growth. You know that. That's why many of you are here every single week. God does incredible things in here through some very, very spiritually gifted people. But did you know this? That most people that are brand new to the church family, most people that are new to the faith, most people that are sort of wrestling with this concept, is Jesus for me? Is this church for me? Am I welcomed here? Do I belong here? Most of those people, man, they've made up their minds if they're coming back or not within their first 7 minutes of being on our campus. Hadn't heard Darrell sing yet. Hadn't heard Pastor Jarrett preach yet. And if God has given you that spiritual gift of hospitality, of love, of kindness, of compassion, as you serve as a creeter in the parking lot, if you serve out there like that, you could have an eternity-changing impact on someone's soul by using the spiritual gift that God has given you here in the body. Understand that our family here, right, our body of Christ, it runs at 100% when every one of us is using our gifts to serve the Lord. Use what God has gifted you for his glory. And then finally, number 5, reason for joining the church matters because it honors Christ and advances his kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Right? The church family, the gathering of believers, it is a vital part of God's plan to fulfill the mission of Jesus here on earth. Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Acts 20:28 tells us that Jesus bought the church with his blood. And so when you commit to a local church family, you are actively participating in the mission that Jesus put into the hands of the church. Make disciples. You hear it often. That's the number one focus priority of our church family, and our commitment to one another. Our connection to one another is a primary way for us to share the gospel and make disciples. That's the words of Jesus in John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When we love one another, as different and diverse as we are, a watching world can't help but look and think, this isn't normal. right? Those people aren't right, that there's something different in them, and they're exactly right. It is the work of God among us, reconciling us to one another as members of the household or the family of God. Commit to one another in love. All right, know that not only are you honoring Christ, you are pointing people to him. Belonging to a church, it matters. Right, that's the biblical pattern of the New Testament. Every believer we see, there's not an example of one living off in isolation, doing their own thing. Church membership, it reflects God's design and displays the gospel. It allows us to follow the commands of Scripture, the one another's that we saw earlier. It leads to our spiritual growth, the spiritual growth of those around us, and it leads to spiritual protection through accountability that people offer to us. It brings all of our gifts together, piled together in a group for the building up of the body of Christ, for the honor of Jesus, ultimately advancing his kingdom. If you've been on the sidelines, if you're wondering, does it matter? Should I plug in or not? Should I keep slipping in or out? Listen, join the church. We've got a class coming up soon. Commit. And if you have joined the church, my question's the same. Are you living like a biblical member of the church? I'm not just asking if your name is on some paper somewhere. That's a great start, right? I mean, it's a needed statement of commitment to a group of people, but the question is, are you living it? Are you committed and connected? Are you living out the one another's of the Bible? Are you growing and helping other people grow as well? Are you using your gift, right? Have you plugged in your gift to build up the church of Jesus, all for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom? As followers of Christ, not supposed to do this on our own. We are connected together. Eugene Peterson says it great. There can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life apart from an immersion in an embrace of community. We're designed to be together. Would you bow with me this morning?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.